Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, as we wrap up the year and head into a fresh 2022, it seems like it's time for folks to look at upbeat, positive, and practical ways to start the new year on a fresh and inspired foot. Put your best foot forward, right? So joining us today to talk more about this and offer some practical tips that you can put into practice in your own life, we are pleased to have with us author, speaker, and consultant Christopher Carter, who works with executives at top companies like Amazon, AT&T, and more. Also the author of a new book, Permission to Glow, a spiritual guide to epic leadership. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Shannon. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, me too. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got involved in becoming a life coach?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's one of those professions. It's still a very rapidly evolving space. It's a little bit like the Wild Wild West for coaches right now. It's a lot of people are finding a lot of benefit to hiring coaches, like even top surgeons, top business people. They're investing in this value of coaching. And it's one of these careers that chose me. I didn't really go out to choose it. I was one of those people that if you sat next to on a plane, you might be inspired to share your biggest fears and your biggest dreams, you know? And I didn't really know what to do with that information at first. Like, people would just be telling me all their stuff. So over time, I went and got a lot of training and a lot of practice just sitting in these deeper conversations, what we call conversations of possibility, helping people create what they would previously thought was impossible for themselves. And in digging into that, we look at the stories that hold us back, the actions we need to take, what's in the way of taking those actions. And yeah, it's been really inspiring. So, and in a given week, I'm receiving a lot of coaching from my team of coaches, but I'm also giving a lot of coaches to some of the world's top performers.
Okay. And we should mention that there is a coaching federation, an international coaching federation,
yes,
from which you have received certification. So, I mean, it comes to judging coaches, that is something to look for in any coach, but does give you a lot more authority than if I'm simply to walk along the street and offer advice. So let's talk about completing out 2021 strong. Should we be thinking about?
Yeah, well, I think what most of us do, and there's nothing wrong with this process, but all of us start thinking about our goals and resolutions at this time of year, you know, reconciling how the year went, you know, looking really closely at the things we didn't get done and saying, you know what, I'm just going to get through the holidays and I'm going to make resolutions and I'm going to be a different person in January. And, I was one of these people for a very long time. You know, I would spend most of December setting big, lofty goals, and then most of February, you know, judging myself for giving up on those goals a few weeks in.
I know that.
And I think that's what most of us have been kind of trained to do by our culture. And, you know, there's this whole movement around the first of the year, like new year, new you. And that's fine and all, but the biggest gift we could give ourselves right now through the holidays is to just find some completion with the year that we are in. And by completion, it's a coaching term. It's basically really getting clear on what was accomplished, what wasn't, you know, maybe surrendering and forgiving ourselves for how it went and getting responsible for how things went and then setting some goals from that place. Most of us just kind of live in this perpetual soup of incompletion, and that really holds us back from setting clear goals and just setting clear attainable goals. And I'm a big fan in coaching of designing games we can win, because those little wins start adding up to big wins over time through consistency. So the first step is to really clear the field, clear the scoreboard, and just get really complete about where we are now in this year.
Right, right. And I like how you put it, small wins, because they do add up to larger feelings of accomplishment. It's so frustrating to feel like, oh, I didn't accomplish this or I didn't accomplish that, when they are larger goals, like I didn't lose the 20 pounds I was planning to, or, you know, didn't start running or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's always the things that we want to accomplish, and we get really attached to whether we did that or not. And then we usually judge ourselves in like a pass fail fashion. But when we zoom the lens back on a year like the one that we just, you know, lived through. I mean, the last couple of years have been pretty crazy, and they've been built upon some pretty crazy years before that. So if we just look through, you know, getting our families through a pandemic, you know, holding things together, you know, staying well, you know, those are accomplishments, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like everybody gets a participation award just for showing up, but it's more like, give yourself credit for the work that you did do. And then when you look at the back at those goals that you set that maybe you did or didn't accomplish, just be very real with yourself about, you know, what was in the way and what you did make progress on. And rather than just judging, you know, one fell swoop of pass fail, saying, okay, I did make progress over here. Maybe not what I wanted to do, but that's part of that completion process. Like literally, it's a great time to have this conversation, Shannon, because literally I spent most of my morning doing exactly this, you know, looking back on a kind of a big year of launching a book, expanding my business and saying, okay, where can I take credit for accomplishment and where do I have more work to do heading into next year?
Interesting. And you deal with a lot of high performers, you know, whether it's, you know, surgeons, pilots, et cetera, who maybe are more open to what would you call it, to subcontracting their goal setting mm-hmm. through a life coach. Not everyone who's listening is going to do that. Is it important to have another person outside of yourself to be accountable to, kind of like a life coach is?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of it is the accountability piece. And unfortunately, I mean, maybe people do this a little bit too much, but in social media, that's a great accountability tool if you want to use it. Like, hey, my goal is to lose X or to gain this and to take on that public accountability. That is one way that helps us, you know, honor our commitments, you know, keep us in integrity with ourselves. But one of the biggest benefits of having a coach or just a great partner, you know, and sometimes this is our spouse or, you know, one of our best friends or allies, is to just have them reflect back to us what they're seeing, what they're hearing. I mean, that's really the benefit of the coach. The coach is a mirror for your process. So if your words or your actions are incongruent with one another, if you say you want this, but you keep doing that, it's our responsibility to share that with you and give you that feedback, you know, and a trusted friend can do this, you know. But the real power of coaching is to create those awarenesses on a weekly basis and then hold you accountable to taking the actions that align with those new awarenesses. And the power of it is you can become somebody completely different, capable of achieving totally different results. Like that's been my experience with receiving coaching, and that's what I hope to give my clients each week.
Well, yeah, you want to not repeat if you've been failing at achieving your goals and goal setting through, you know, practice, then you don't want to have that go on. You want to see some change in it. Christopher Carter is our guest today, the founder of This Epic Life, also the author of a new book called Permission to Glow. We will be continuing the conversation here on The Extra in just a few minutes. Need to take a short break. Christopher, stand by, and to our audience, stand by. When we come back, we'll be talking about specific ways you can prepare for a fresh new year, no matter how busy you've been during this holiday season. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back, and our guest today, Christopher Carter, who is a certified life coach and also the author of a new book called Permission to Glow, a spiritual guide to epic leadership. And Christopher, first of all, tell us, where can people buy this book? Because I think people listening might be inspired to go find out more about what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, I'd love for them to pick up the book because honestly, the book is the owner's manual for your own epic life, and that was the goal of putting it together, was to give people access to coaching principles and ways to improve their situation without, you know, maybe they don't have the investment or the budget to hire a full-blown coach. But you could find it everywhere. The books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere online. But you could also go to permissiontoglowbook.com. You could read a lot of, there's a lot of fun stuff, and you could download free chapters to see if it's for you.
Sounds great. Okay, so let's talk about specific ways that all of us can prepare for a fresh new year. You talked a little bit, touched on, you know, setting smaller goals, achievable goals to add up to the bigger wins. But let's talk about those specific steps.
Yeah. So I love these questions. And thank you so much for giving your listeners these tools. I think this is so important. So all of us kind of live in a pressure cooker in Q4 that culminates in the holiday season. That's how life in America tends to roll. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very busy time, and there's a lot of pressures to see everyone and do all the shopping and to be everywhere at once. And I get that. I have three kids, and I know that that pressure is real. However, when I take a step back and do my own reflection process on the year, I'm just looking for the simple questions I could sit down and ask myself, maybe journal through, share with my partner, that helped me kind of reconcile the year. And I want to give your listeners some of these questions in the hopes that this process can be simple and easy versus just one more thing to do on top of a mountain of other things to do during the holidays.
Okay.
So this is really about taking time for yourself, just a few minutes each day, and just getting clear with what's been created and what you want to do next. So I'm a big proponent of creating a meditation habit. We talked a little bit about it before we started recording today, and I get that that can be unattainable for some people, the idea of sitting down and quieting their minds. However, there are very simple practices to do. Just one very simple one. If we do this, you know, I would definitely recommend doing this before you sit down to journal, which is just create like a little space of a break between all the doing of all the other things and this time that we're making for ourselves. So a simple way to do this is to just breathe in through our nose for four counts. Just do it for a second. So breathe in, deep inhale for four counts. Three, four. Hold your breath for seven counts. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now exhale, long exhale through your mouth for eight counts. Just this very intentional breathing, just one pattern of that, four patterns of this, by the way, 4-7-8 breathing. If you do that four times, it takes about 57 seconds. So less than 1 minute, you could slow down. And that's always the first step with anything in coaching is like, let's slow down and just take some time and just get present with ourselves.
It feels like it's slowing down my heart. I feel that.
It does. And what you're experiencing, Shannon, is we are enforcing specific breathing patterns on the involuntary nervous system. Mm-hmm. So the involuntary nervous system, this is that kind of anxiety bonfire that we usually just pour more caffeine or alcohol on that just kind of speeds us up all day long. But through very deliberate breathing practices, and yogis have known this for thousands of years, like modern science and research is catching up to this, to prove out that you can slow down your experience of life. So these calendars and cultural pressures will speed us up and saying you need to be thinking about this or worrying about that. And we need to consciously slow it down. So that's what you experience of slowing down our heart, that was just one cycle of that. In for four, hold for seven, exhale for eight slowly. If you do that four times, you are in a totally different headspace. And this is a huge difference because now we're looking at our lives from up above the maze versus being down in it. And when we're down in it, we make decisions from fear. We set goals from scarcity. But when we pause, we take a step above it, we could see adjacent possibilities and opportunities. And that's the real gift I want to give people here is just the gift of perspective.
Well, that's a great, jump start to get someone into meditation. How long, for instance, do you meditate daily? I mean, I'm assuming it's not just a couple minutes.
Yeah, so my practice has grown to be about an hour every morning, and I've done that for many years now. But you might be able to gather, I have uncomfortable levels of energy. You know, so I take on a lot. I've always been like a don't sit still. I'm a doer. I'm an achiever. But meditation practice like literally saved my life in my mid-20s. And it's one of those things, the more you do it, the more you need it. So a lot of us are runners and we don't, you know, leave our house the first day and run 10 miles because we'd hurt ourselves.
Right.
But we could build up to that over time just through practice. And so I couldn't meditate for years. And then it took me a long time to get to 15 minutes a day. That's usually the goal I get all my students through our website is, can you meditate 15 minutes a day, no excuses, every single day of your life? Because once you're over that hump and you're doing that, everything starts to change. There's a lot less drama in your life. You're making better choices at the grocery store. Maybe a little bit less of the bad habits that don't serve you, a little bit more of the nourishing habits. But that 15 minutes a day is what I'm always trying to get people to.
Well, we need to take a short break here. Our guest today, Christopher Carter, author of Permission to Glow, also the founder of his group, This Epic Life, which is also a website you can check out. We need to take a short break, Christopher. When we come back, though, let's talk about how people, whether it's through meditation or otherwise, can replace bad habits with good ones and how they can achieve the life they want. That and more coming up as we are focusing on ways to improve our 2022 and cap off what has been for many sometimes a challenging 2021, but ways to look back with satisfaction and not with dissatisfaction. That and more coming up here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra on KRDO News Radio. So we're talking about how to take on 2022 in a fresh way. Our guest today, Christopher Carter, who's an author and a certified life coach and also the founder of This Epic Life, a website devoted to conscious leadership. So, Christopher, just before the break, you had talked about your what you set for your students as a meditation goal, 15 minutes a day. Do you counsel your students to envision something, or are they supposed to make their minds blank?
So let's we'll pick up right where we left off. And so any of the coaching clients I work with, I always really encourage them to create a meditation practice because it just gives them access to better choices, more conscious choices versus kind of the unconscious choices that we all pick up. I mean, in the pandemic, it was a great time to accumulate a lot of bad habits, especially for myself. You know, I'm eating way more dark chocolate than I have any business in eating in a given week. And that was something that happened during the pandemic. Maybe I'm watching a little bit more Netflix. So, but creating a meditation habit helps us slow down and really notice where we're choosing from. Are we choosing unconsciously or consciously? And one of the set of questions I wanted to give your listeners was just to reconcile 2021. So when we start by doing that 4-7-8 breathing, just getting our own attention, slowing things down, we could ask ourselves these very simple questions. And the four questions are, the first one is, what is there to release and or surrender? So just a little bit of journaling on what is there to release and or surrender. And people might dig deep on that. You know, I could release so much self-judgment. I could release being attached to how this went or that went. I could surrender that this maybe wasn't the year to tackle this certain thing. And then once we've released and surrendered, then we go to what is there to receive and or celebrate. And that's forcing us to take responsibility for the things that did go right. Maybe some of these things were totally unplanned and they were just blessings that happened in our lives. It gets us presence to the miracle of just being alive. And then we move into, you know, once we're present to what there is to celebrate, we can move into what do I want to create? And without getting too granular here, you know, maybe it's just the type of life you want to create, more vitality, more, you know, better relationships, more abundance and financial resources, whatever that is, what do I want to create? And then the final step is, what is the first action or set of actions that will get me there? And this helps right size what we're taking on versus this mountain of what we think we need to do to create everything all at once. So just through that sequence of questions, to surrender, to receive and celebrate, to what do I want to create, to what is my first step or steps, that's what takes us into this, setting up this ideal 2022.
Well, and I love that you are taking this practice and putting it in book form that people can buy or download to purchase. Again, the book is called Permission to Glow. But I'm curious, what was your first step when you had it in your mind that you wanted to write a book? What was your first step?
Yeah, honestly,
how did you incorporate that?
Yeah. Honestly, I hired the coach that kind of terrifies me. My coach, Christine, she's amazing, but she helped train me. She's training my wife in coaching right now. And Christine's pretty intense, you know, like she doesn't take, you know, your old excuses and she'll hold you accountable. So my first step was to partner with a coach. I had that dream of writing a book for maybe 20 years. A lot of us have that big dream. In the book, I call it the big honking dream. Rather than setting smart goals, which we just tend to not achieve, I think we all have a big dream that really inspires us. And the book was the biggest dream. And my coach helped me get that first draft done in 6 months. You know, the pandemic helped because I was out of excuses. I had the time to focus on it. But that was my first step, was hiring the coach. And then really, this sets the stage, and I think this is helpful for people too. I started reorganizing my bedroom, my office space, my workspace to look more like an ideal author space. The environment that we create these dreams in absolutely matters. So if you're trying to become a writer in a total chaotic environment with a TV on, chances are you're not going to write. But if you create a sanctuary in your life where it's like a real joy to sit down and try to create for however long you can, that was a huge step for me, was to just create the environment that made me feel like a writer. And now fast forward, I look around, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to Shannon on the radio right now about being an author. I guess my big honking dream has come true. And it's because I very intentionally created the environment to make it happen.
So having the intentions, having someone to hold you accountable and not listen to the excuses. What were your excuses before for the past 20 years as to why you hadn't written your book?
It's probably the most common one in modern America, Shannon. It's, I'm too busy. There's too many things. There's too many kids to raise and mouths to feed and things to do. And I mean, it's just the perpetual overwhelm that we live in, that our big honking dream has to get at the end of the line, you know? And so I made a conscious effort to put it to the front of the line and to make all these other, it forced me to show up in those other areas to make sure everybody was taken care of, manage the overwhelm, make sure there was plenty of clients to support the dream. And it was a little bit of reverse engineering, but also just not settling for my old excuses, which was like, I don't have time. You know, time and money are the biggest scarcity constructs. They're very important resources to create what we want to create. However, they are by far the biggest excuses I hear with coaching clients of why they can't have their dream. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. Well, we all have the same number of hours. We don't have the same number of dollars. However, we can shift our relationship to those resources and find abundance where maybe some scarcity was before.
Okay. I'm not sure if we answered the question, Christopher, of replacing bad habits with good habits. But if not, let's touch on it again when we come back. Does that sound good?
Oh, it's super fun. I love that question.
Great. Okay, we need to take a short break. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with our guest today, Christopher Carter, who is a certified life coach. He is the founder of This Epic Life, a website devoted to conscious leadership, and also the author of Permission to Glow, a spiritual guide to epic leadership. And Christopher, you've been offering our listeners some real practical ideas for how to, I guess, close out 2021 on a good note, on a satisfactory note, on a note that makes us feel at least somewhat good about where we came from, and also look forward to an achievable 2022 with perhaps some life improvements. But one of those, so you were talking about how you've turned to dark chocolate a lot during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
I have turned to a lot of things that are probably not good for me. And it's because I think we feel so stressed that we feel like, oh, I need to indulge myself to counter the stress that, you know, we're encountering because our children are home studying remotely
or
what have you. So replacing bad habits with good habits, what are some practical steps to doing that?
Well, all the research shows that we cannot just create a new habit or just turn off an old bad habit. We have to replace it with a more nourishing habit. So these grooves get worn into our brains where we start eating our feelings, for example, in my case with the dark chocolate. So much change and uncertainty. And I thought, well, if I'm writing a book, I deserve the chocolate. I'll eat as much as I want. And now it's like, well, maybe you don't need to eat that much. So how I would tackle this with any client is I would first get them to focus on what they're moving towards and not what they're moving away from. So if we keep looking over our shoulder at the bad habit, judging ourselves, saying like, gosh, how long am I going to keep doing this, whatever, that keeps us stuck in that old place. Whereas if we get clear on what we're moving towards, well, I want to be running 20 miles a week, regardless of the weather. That gives me a much more kind of inspiring place to move towards versus moving away from it. So now we're not talking about dark chocolate anymore. We're talking about 20 miles a week of pretty intense cardiovascular exercise. And then in becoming a runner, maybe a runner doesn't eat as much dark chocolate as I am currently in the moment. So all this comes down to creating games that we will win versus goals that we may or may not achieve. And so I just want to plant the seed with people: move towards something you want to create. Set it up to be a game you could win. What is the minimum amount of consistency you can deliver in choosing better food to eat, maybe a little bit less alcohol, a little bit less scrolling? Set up a game you will win, and in winning that game consistently, it'll keep improving and improving and improving.
Okay. And how do we keep our fears in check? Because a lot of people, you know, they have fears about, you know, whether it's taking on a new job, you know, the fear that you might fail or that you might miss your old job. I mean, that sometimes holds people back.
Sure thing. Yeah, it's a big topic I cover in the book. I call it permission three, permission to glow in the dark. Sometimes we have to be willing that the darkness is ever present. We will always have that fear. And anybody who tells you they don't have it, they're lying. That we all must do the thing we're here to do despite the ever present fear. I call that the darkness. And the audacity it takes to just glow in the dark sometimes, we build that muscle through taking smaller, bolder actions each day. Versus just, you know, fooling ourselves into thinking we're going to show up as a different person tomorrow. So just what's one more bold step towards the thing you want to create? We don't have to make these big radical moves in our career. In fact, I advise against that all the time. We don't have to blow up what we're doing to create something new, because our challenges will and our fears are going to follow us to that new place. We have to work with that fear and ask the fear what it's informing. You know, is it asking us to just be more conscious of this or that? Or, you know, so versus trying to just say that the fear doesn't exist, how do we work with it? And in working with it, we will build the muscle to improve things.
Right. I have experienced that kind of fear, you know, firsthand. I remember once getting replaced for a job and not being able to get out of my bed, that I was the fear, sure, of what the next step was going to be was so great. When people are facing that kind of fear, is that a time to turn to a professional therapist instead of a life coach, or what would you suggest?
Yeah, I definitely coach people into therapy often if they have recurring fears that become debilitating. That is absolutely a great time to lean on a trained therapist, a clinical therapist. Therapy is a strong, it's a very valuable practice. It helps us heal past wounds and trauma. We all have a lot of collective trauma right now. I'm a big fan of referring out to therapy. However, when it comes to working with the fear and creating the ideal future, that's when we step back more into a coaching conversation.
Got it. It's been fascinating to talk to you, Christopher Carter. We're almost out of time, unfortunately. We've been talking to the author of Permission to Glow, a new book out that helps you look at some ways to focus on improving your life and setting yourself up for success in the future. Christopher, in this final minute or so, what would you like to share with our listeners?
I think I would just say that you're in the right place. If you're inspired by these tools, by this conversation, you are already on the path of creating what you're here to create in your life. It's just a matter of working with what you have and starting where you are. It doesn't do us any good to just compare and despair on social media or to wish for things to be different. We've tried that before. We all get tricked into doing it sometimes. However, we can take responsibility for exactly where we are, find gratitude and self-compassion in where we are, and from there build an incredible life and an incredible life that we deserve.
Well, Christopher Carter, also known as KC, thank you for your time here and sharing your wisdom with our listeners here on The Extra.
My pleasure, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
And tell us again where they can buy your book.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Find me at permissiontoglowbook.com. You could also find us at thisepiclife.com.
Great. KC, Christopher Carter, thank you for your time today. And to our listeners, we hope you do make it a great 2022.